I'm your host, Gabe Carey, along with Dennis McCarson and Patrick, who is now busy, it says. He's on the line with another person, with a special guest. Patrick, what are you happened? There?
Yeah, I'm here.
It said you were busy. What were you busy doing?
Oh, busy? No, I wasn't.
For that
just the call,
brief
like,
spurt of time.
No, the call dropped for me, and then I'm back.
So today we're going to talk about our games and movies of the year so far. Crap. My Skype recorder stopped working, so hopefully yours is working, Dennis.
It is. The way to break the fourth wall. Now everybody knows.
You can deal with it with the magic of editing.
No, the illusion is gone and we don't edit.
No, we don't edit at all.
The only episode that was ever edited, Gabe wasn't on, and I edited it, and it was beautiful. Just so you know.
I see.
Excellent. So what have been your games and movies of this year so far, guys?
Did you introduce?
We're like
us?
Halfway through the. Yeah. I said Dennis. I'm here with. Okay, I'll start it all over. Welcome to the Night with B10. I'm your host, Gabe Carey, along with Patrick Tor and
Dennis
McCarson.
I'm Gabe Carey.
We're all Gabe Carey today. We're going to talk about our games and movies of the year so far.
Lego movie.
We're 8 months in, and
it does
not
feel like we're 8 months in.
But we are. It really doesn't. It doesn't feel like we're like three quarters
like,
of the way through.
I was like, oh shit, we have so much of 2014 to look to. No, there's not another Marvel coming out, Marvel movie coming out in 2013 or 14. You know, a lot of stuff that's not happening until like next year or whatever is like, you go like, holy shit. So
yeah, it's strange. And I haven't really played any games that have really resonated with me. As much as the games did last year, for sure. So, it's
for
a
me,
tough
it's,
choice.
Yeah, for me, it's sorry to interrupt. Actually, I didn't realize.
No, you're fine.
Not done. But no, it's for me, it's not so much. Well, actually, I guess it's like you in the sense that I haven't played them yet. Like I've literally played one game from 2014. I played two, but I'm saying I only own one game from 2014. I think that's the issue. I only own one.
I thought I only have played. I thought I hadn't played any, but I guess I've played one. I didn't even think about it.
What, Mario Kart?
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
The only 2014 game I've. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeesh.
No, I've played quite a few. I've played quite a few games this year, but it's just that none of them have been like substantially, like they haven't impacted me as much as games have in the past, and I don't know, like, looking forward, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be much this year to offer as far as, like, Game of the Year candidates.
Mm. No, well, you know what it is, though? I kind of feel like, whereas I don't think I've found a Game of the Year, quote-unquote, I probably know what my Game of the Year will be, or at least I think I'll find it eventually. Because the thing is,
yeah,
the game that's going to get Game of the Year and what people consider to be Game of the Year are two different things. And or to be more precise, the thing you enjoy the most and the thing that wins the most awards are two different things. I mean, if we're talking about movies, I think movies is a bit easier for me because I guess I've seen more movies this year than games that I've played. For movies, I'd say my movie of the year, I guess, is Winter Soldier. You know, Captain America: Winter Soldier. That's my movie.
Mm-hmm. Winter Soldier was really good, but I gotta go. Lego Movie. I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet. I'm going this
weekend. Me neither. Yeah, I'll see it eventually.
But Lego Movie, hands down. No, actually, take it back. Chef. Chef is my movie of the year so far.
Chef?
Yeah, it's a Jon Favreau indie movie. Fucking amazing.
Fair enough.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so good.
My favorite movie this year is also an independent film, and that would be Boyhood. And I just saw that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, fuck, I need to see that movie too.
It's really good. Growing up as like a white male in America, I can really relate.
Oh, wow. Like they haven't made something for you before.
No, I know. I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone or anything like that. I'm just saying...
statistically are.
No, well, as a white artistic male in this society, I could relate to a lot of the things that the guy, that Mason went through in the film over a 12-year time period, and especially since I just graduated high school and it ends with Mason going off to college. This is something that kind of felt really special to me. I don't think it's just for... I don't think that would be just for white men, but, like,
from
men as a whole.
Well, from what I understand, it's not even just for men. It's for anybody. Like, it's an R-rated film, and the R rating is so dumb because it shows him, like, drinking when he's 14 or something like that.
Yeah, and really, really doesn't deserve, I don't think it deserves the R rating.
That's
and
why it has an R rating, is because it has underage kids drinking.
Really?
So, a lot of F-words. Yeah. A lot of F-words as well.
Okay, yeah. F-words, fair enough, all right.
No, yeah, but the reason they got the R rating was because of an underage kid drinking. Like that, they feel like they can't show that to someone who's under 17. Well, really, that movie, and I haven't seen it yet, but from what I understand, it's really just a movie about growing up. And it should be shown to the exact people that they're trying not to show.
Yeah, the demographic it's about, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
There were some moments that really hit hard to me in particular because I had, like, undergone some of those circumstances. Like, in middle school, at one point, someone pushed him around in the bathroom for no apparent reason. And back when I was in middle school, someone did the same exact thing to me. And even went a little further than that.
He sucked your dick afterwards.
No. But people, you know, it really shows how cruel people can be, to other people for no reason, in our early childhoods to adulthood.
You don't think that guy now?
I don't think anyone else. I don't think any other director has really like presented that in a.
No,
in a context that felt really, like, hit really hard.
You don't think that that guy was pushed around maybe because he had cameras following him around? This is an honest question. Do you think that kid did have a different life because for most of his young life, where he was growing up, he had cameras following him around?
Well, it was scripted. It wasn't like a reality film.
Oh, so
it was scripted, though. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure a reality film over 12 years would be infinitely harder.
Oh, fuck that movie! Then I don't give a shit about it.
I mean, I still think that in terms of artistic merit, that's pretty phenomenal. Like the longevity of the project is what makes it so interesting. Obviously,
yeah,
I haven't seen
that too,
thing,
of course,
like a third person perspective.
Oh, yeah. It's filmed over 12 years with the same cast.
Every year they would film for 2 weeks for 12 years, and that's how they filmed it. But it was also scripted, so it is fictional.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't be that mad at it, but also I was under the impression it was something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think. Go ahead.
I think it needs that pre-written narrative to hit as hard as it did, because otherwise I don't think it would feel as real as you'd want it to feel, just because, yeah, there were cameras following him around for 12 years. That wouldn't be...
Well, that was my question. Like,
quite what I'd want.
If he had cameras just following him around for 12 years, you don't think someone would be like, I'm going to punch this kid, and then a girl was like, I will probably suck his dick on camera.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that, so, yeah, obviously with movies it's easier, but with games, the only two 2014 games I've played are Strider and Titanfall. Strider, of which I own, Titanfall, which I'm going to own probably by this weekend, I guess, because I'm finally going to buy it. Obviously not for Xbox One, since I don't have one, but for 360. And
Titanfall
I wouldn't
on 360?
Say that... Yeah. Let me tell you something. That game, not only is that game hard to find, that game is stupid expensive. Do you know how much it is? Right now.
Wait, for Titanfall on 360? Yeah.
You know how much it is?
No. I didn't know it was rare.
No, it's £35, aka $50. It's $50. Why? It came out in March. It should not be this expensive.
Well, again, it also is out for the Xbox 360. Like, I'll give you $5 for it.
No, it's just, it's like, I get that they're trying to sell the Xbox One version, right? I get that, and the PC version as well, but the Xbox One and the PC version are hella cheap, but the 360 version is both hard to find. In fact, you can't find
any. The 360 one on GameStop for the Americans is $40.
Like, it's $37 on Amazon.
That's like £3.
Very funny. That conversion was amazing. But in all honesty, yeah, the cheapest I could find it for is £35, which is annoying, because it's like, oh, this game should be cheaper. So I'm going to buy that. Anyway, point is, out of those two games, those 2014 games I played, I wouldn't give either of them Game of the Year for several reasons, but I feel like the game that I would enjoy the most will likely be Advanced Warfare, especially since I probably will get it. I hope I'll get it anyway. In terms of Game of the Year material, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what could be Game of the
Smash
Year.
Smash Brothers.
Right now, for me, Transistor is still my number one Game of the Year candidate, and nothing else has really even come close. Besides, I think Mario Kart is a really solid game, but it's still more of the same.
Yeah, Mario Kart's not...
it's not really Game of the Year material because it's not anything new. I think Game of the Year should be something like a brand new experience that...
like Smash Brothers.
Overall, not like my Game of the Year material, but like overall industry Game of the Year material should be something new.
Well, say that to GTA 5. Well, no, you know,
I didn't think it was Game of the Year material. That was...
Well, fair enough.
Smash
Brothers. Yeah,
no, I it should be something profound. It isn't always something profound. But it would be nice. Smash Bros. Would be...
But then, Grand Theft Auto V was also really impressive and new on a technological level, and I think that's why it got Game of the Year.
Or the fact that it sold over $1 billion worth.
Yeah, I don't think money should give it Game of the Year.
I think, technically that should. If Game of the Year is the best, well...
No, then wouldn't Call of Duty win every year, and Call of Duty hasn't won it since COD 4.
And it shouldn't. I don't think it should. I don't think that Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed...
That's admittedly, fair enough. Yeah,
admittedly, I would agree.
So.
Yeah, Call of Duty probably shouldn't win it. No, the thing is, Call of Duty, up until Modern Warfare 3, was winning Multiplayer of the Year, though. Not anymore, but it used to win Multiplayer of the Year.
What's winning now? Smash Brothers?
It's every year, it's something different.
Yeah.
This year, if Smash Brothers doesn't win every award, I quit the internet.
Here's the thing about Smash 4. I think Smash 4 is going to be great. I don't think it's going to be perfect, though.
I think it's going to be absolutely perfect, so fuck you, Patrick.
Hey, this is coming from a Smash fan. I'm a Smash fan, bro. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be, like, from the sound of it, they're not really beefing it up that much.
Don't think it's going to win Game of the Year because it's coming out really late, and I remember the last time a game came out really late, it wasn't getting Game of the Year because a lot of people still hadn't played it, and that was Far Cry 3. And people kind of ignored that one when Game of the Year came around because it came out, like, 3 days before.
Wait, yeah, but this one's not coming out 3 days before. It's coming out at least a month before.
It's True. Coming out in December, right?
No.
Or late November?
I think it's going to be mid-November. And then, but the 3DS version's coming out in October.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like the 3DS version's going to be as...
3DS.
I don't know. It's not going to do as well.
I already have like the pre-order for the 3DS version and everything. But the more I think about it, I just think like I don't think I'm going to play it that much because honestly, like in the about a month time in between the 3DS version and the Wii U version coming out, how much am I really going to play it? You know?
Yeah.
Because as soon as the Wii U version comes out, I'm not going to play the 3DS version.
Also, I don't like to be that guy who talks about the graphics and stuff like that all the time.
Oh my fucking god, yes you do. That's all you talk about. you literally texted me last night and you were saying, I can't jack off. And I said, why not? And you said, because the graphics on this porn aren't 1080. The resolution only goes up to 480 and it doesn't support... stereo sound. It's only mono, and I just can't do it.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I did
and
that.
And then you sent me a picture of your flaccid dick.
I don't like the art style on the 3DS version of Super Smash Bros. I think the 3DS is capable of so much more than that.
Yeah, I think they really took it down just so that they could fit other things on the game.
And so it could run at 60 frames per second, I think, is why they ended up doing that. But still, like, when the 3DS first came out, and we were seeing games like Dead or Alive, Dimensions, and like Ghost Recon and stuff like that, and Metal Gear Solid 3, like, I thought the 3DS was capable of so much more, and then they did the same thing they did with the DS, and games started to look worse and worse as it progresses.
They got lazy. I don't know, I'm going to lie, like, sometimes at the beginning of a generation, like, some developers work some weird voodoo magic where they make the game look better than even games down the line. Like, for example, Xbox 360's launch titles weren't great, but off of the top of my head, like, a couple of games looked phenomenal on 360, like, Devil May Cry 4 looked pretty good, Lost Planet looked pretty good for some weird reason, and Virtua Fighter 5 looked really good. Like, these games, I don't know what they were doing, but they looked just amazing. I feel like it's weird.
Smash Brothers more?
No, I mean, well, if you
want. That's all I honestly care about.
No, what I was going to say about Smash
Bros.
What I was going to say about Smash Bros. Is purely that, with Smash 4 on Wii U, the fact that it doesn't have any kind of, like, single-player content is a shame, because they're keeping up for the 3DS version, and I feel like...
Hasn't been confirmed nor denied. They haven't shown any of the content for the Wii U version, because they're showing off everything for the 3DS. They haven't shown any gameplay mode other than the fact that you can fight people on the Wii U
version. They said that there wouldn't be any...
No, they're just talking about there's not going to be a story mode like on Brawl.
Well, I better hope... I just hope there's something... Because I feel like the adventure modes in Smash were really exciting ever since the first Smash. Like, the adventure modes were really good. I mean, plus they taught people how to play the game, too, so...
Yeah, no, there's definitely going to be all that stuff, but they just haven't shown it. And I think that's smart on Nintendo's part, because they're really just, like, they're whoring out the 3DS version. And then they're, like, when you play through the 3DS version and you... It's, like, that's when, like, they still have, like, another month of updates for the game after the 3DS version, because they're like, hey, you still have to wait for the Wii U version, because now we can show you all the shit that's happening on the Wii U version exclusively. They haven't shown practically anything that's like a Wii U exclusive yet.
Well, I hope you're right, because the last time a company withheld information is because there was nothing there to show. Just saying. Sometimes that's, holding
that,
back...
Was that design... Nintendo?
No, not Nintendo. I'm saying...
Nintendo normally has, like, excellent games, and they do hold back.
In the case of, like, Titanfall, like, they held back so much information, and ironically, there was nothing to show in the end. But I just hope that there is going to be something for Smash.
No, there's got to be. That would be the dumbest move ever for something that they've been so smart about.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But then again, was it Sakurai, either Sakurai or someone else, who said, I don't want to put cutscenes in the game because blah, 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 YouTube, blah, blah.
I can bet you money there's cutscenes in the game, because all of the trailers that they've shown, or at least since Pit,
that's
are really
true.
Animatic.
Yeah, animatic. I don't think that's a word, but fair enough.
Yeah, it is. Right? Animatic.
Shit! They just made it up.
No, animatic.
It does hint at some kind of either story or some sort of thing. It would be a shame if they put all of those cinematics in, you know... Like, I don't know, to waste? Cause
animatic.
Adjective.
Adjective pertaining to animatics. Form of television commercial consisting of a series of drawings with a voiceover. Okay, so I didn't use the term correctly, but it is a term.
So. Fair enough. No, but all I was going to say is that I don't think they'll make, like, a grand narrative, like, with Brawl, but I would like to see them have, like, character endings for everyone, like character openings and character endings. Okay, maybe not openings, but character endings.
I don't know about that. No, what I think it is, and I could be wrong, it seems like they might show, you know, like when you have the new challenger approaching,
yeah,
like they would show like the, and I meant cinematic, not animatic, I realized what I meant. You know, like when Pit, the first time you fight Pit, that cinematic may be shown, or something like that. No, but I would like to be able to play through, like, the adventure mode, the classic mode, or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
And then have, like, a character ending, like, oh, wow, Captain Falcon beat the Master Hand, and now he's like, that's so cool, I have a car, and, like, that's, like, the cinematic, because, I mean...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd like to see, like, character endings from, like, an arcade-style mode. I mean, if that game doesn't have an arcade mode, I will be mad.
It's definitely got an arcade mode.
It better.
It seems like they're doing everything right with this game. And 2014, at the end of 2014, when we have our Games of the Year list out, my Games of the Year list will just be Smash Brothers. That's it. That's the whole thing. And then for any examples on it, I'll just redirect them to all of the podcasts over the past year.
No, I mean, I still don't... I mean, fair enough if you put that as your Game of the Year. That's great. I don't think the industry will give that Game of the Year in particular.
Can I
don't
choose
think...
the worst movie of the year?
Yes.
Amazing
yes,
Spider-Man.
The worst movie.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Did you watch it?
Not yet. I'm waiting for you.
Okay.
I've refused to watch it in my entire life until I can watch it with you.
That probably is my worst movie of the year.
Would be funny.
That's only because I watch so many good movies.
If you like that movie, Dennis, I'm going to laugh at you.
I'm not going to like it. I can already tell.
Even if he likes
it, he's not going to admit it. He's in too deep now.
I will be completely honest if I like the movie. Because if I like the movie, I'll praise it and say, wow, I really fucked up on this one, but I can already sense that I'm not going to be saying that.
So many podcasts, Dennis, is evidence against you. I hope you realize.
Whatever. But
you can watch that, followed by the new Ninja Turtles film.
Oh, fuck that movie, too.
That movie, when it comes out, which I don't even know what date is coming out.
It's out.
It's coming out Friday.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was already out.
I don't know. I'm not watching it.
Yeah, well, I can already guarantee that, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be number one in the box office again. Yeah, it comes out tomorrow.
Probably.
They did $93 million last weekend, and that was before the buzz of how great that movie is. It's like, yeah, it's going to be so much higher. And I'm glad. Good for Marvel. They got to use some of their lesser-known characters, and it's doing
Thank
very
God.
Well.
Guys, I just figured something out. I just figured something out. Like, I actually know what type of game is going to win Game of the Year. And it's going to happen maybe in the next month or so. Some random game's going to come out. I'm telling you. Here's the thing. If memory serves, the game that won Game of the Year in 2012 was Walking Dead. The Walking Dead,
yeah,
right?
Was.
The game that won Game of the Year last year was The Last of Us. Are we seeing a trend here? Because I think I am.
Games with females
GTA and males. GTA 5. GTA 5 won the Game of the Year last year for
Spike. If you're gonna say zombies, people are over zombies. It's not zombies.
No, I don't mean zombies. It's gonna be about some guy with a dark past and some girl who's all precious and is gonna like save the world or whatever and have some daddy issues or whatever, and they're gonna team up.
So the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh my God! Look, no. In all seriousness,
no.
Like if this becomes a trend of game, like. You know, okay, basically, I said that this morning to my friend, that, like, you know what I feel like has happened with the gaming industry? We've moved on from, like, the 80s action movie replication, kind of like with the Call of Duty games. Now we've moved on to, like, the Bodyguard era. Like, you know the film Bodyguard, right?
Yeah, starring Nick Cage.
What?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie.
No, it's Kevin Costner, not Nick Cage.
No, there's a movie where Nick Cage plays a bodyguard to an old woman. Fucking incredible.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But basically, yeah, so I feel like we've moved over into the, like, perhaps maybe not Bodyguard is the best example, but, like, into the era of movies about, like, you know, the very dark man with the precious girl. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
my
like,
God. I started to write
I feel like
in...
that's the era we're in right now.
I feel like that might have been... Hold on, Gabe. This is so much more important because I went to Google.
It's not. It never is.
I went to Google Nick Cage bodyguard, and I wrote body, and it said Nick Cage body pillow. And it's a real thing.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, Gabe, go ahead.
I was going to say that I feel like that's like more of a coincidence than anything.
I know it is.
Yeah, because I think it's just because those games were like really emotional and heavily story-driven. And that's why they're winning Game of the Year. And I think that's why, for this year, my personal Game of the Year so far is Transistor. Because
but that game's not like that, is it?
Which I still need to play.
It is very story-driven.
No, I didn't mean story-driven. I mean it doesn't have the whole, you know, older man, young girl.
No. But it is about a girl and a guy, and they're together. throughout the whole game.
That's such a generic setup, though.
but it's super giant game, so...
Yeah, so okay. They made it awesome.
Jokes aside, I don't think that... I'm not saying that that type of game wouldn't come out, but I wouldn't say that would be Game of the Year. However, I did ask myself something that... I just wonder, though, that, like... If we're talking, obviously, Walking Dead, right, Last of Us, and Bioshock Infinite, I guess, I feel like these games are getting critical acclaim, you know, their presentation is solid, their polish is solid, you know, great voice acting, engaging characters, and this is where probably the entire internet's going to hate me, but I feel like it's lacking in the gameplay department a little bit. Like, the gameplay's fine.
I agree. All of the games, like Walking Dead, Bioshock Infinite, and The Last of Us.
Didn't I just say that?
About,
like, not in this podcast, but recently about how those games are really just watching a movie.
Well, fair enough.
I said that a few podcasts ago.
I don't know, like, maybe The Walking Dead is like watching a movie where you make the choices, but then something like The Last of Us, which I just finished today, after playing it the first time, it's less about the story for me, and it was more about the gameplay, and I think there's solid gameplay there. It's just not, it's not Game of the Year material without the cutscenes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not a bad thing. It's just the thing I asked myself was that these games have done a lot of good things for the industry, and I mean, The Last of Us won a BAFTA. I mean, that's nuts. It won tons of awards, and people are really paying attention to it. It's just, the thing that struck me is if the industry is to learn from this trend, we can definitely mean greater stories and bigger impact and greater outreach for the gaming community. But I also thought, but will the gameplay suffer as a result? Because, I mean, the last time people said, basically, if you ask anybody what probably the most powerful, quote-unquote, third-person shooter in recent memory was, they'll say Spec Ops The Line. A game, which had probably the best story out of all third-person shooters in the past 10 years. But the weakest gameplay by far. I mean, even compared to other games with worse story or even worse gameplay, I guess. I don't know. But it just makes me feel like, but is this a dangerous path we're treading where we're pushing story so heavily that the gameplay is going to start to suffer? I don't know. It's just something I thought about. I mean, some games get a good balance. Like Deus Ex Human Revolution gets a good balance, but that game's underrated, though.
I think you can only refine... shooting mechanics so much where it really doesn't matter to me anymore what the game feels like when I'm shooting a gun. I don't even want to shoot a gun to begin with. I want to play something else. And I think some developers are starting to realize this, that not everyone wants to rely so heavily on gameplay alone, but just the having an experience. That's what I'm more about. I like what the modern game has become in some senses. I don't like this DLC stuff and microtransactions, but I like where we're headed, where it doesn't, you can't define a game anymore. There's so many different types of games you can have, so many different types of experiences that you can have a game that's just a game, it feels gamey, but you can also have something that feels like something totally different altogether.
I think I definitely agree with that. It's just my only, concern, I suppose, is just I wonder if in doing this, the industry will begin to favor, because these games aren't exactly underselling, these games are selling well. I just wonder if the industry will start to do that where, not necessarily more games, but they start making these sort of groundbreaking experiences where the gameplay isn't really all that great. And while I appreciate these experiences, these are great stories, I don't exactly see these being the games that are super memorable or the games that I keep playing or keep going back to. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's me personally. I'm not saying that all of the gamey games stop being made. I don't agree. I agree with you that it's nice that we're starting to have a variety of experiences.
Yeah, I like that. I like that we can have that, like Dota 2 and... Journey can exist in the same universe. That's fine.
Sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's great. That's definitely great. I mean, with the whole shooting thing, I should mention, though, that quite frankly, that's only as a result of, and mind you, I don't even think that there's the whole shooting thing is an issue, because I'm sure, as we both know, I'm sure everyone knows, that there's a lot of saturation in all markets, and it's not just the shooter genre. In fact, I'd say the shooter genre has the least saturation because that stuff takes money to make, whereas you've got a ton of free-to-play games, quote-unquote, free-to-play games, and you've got a ton of games.
The market's obviously oversaturated, I think, with free-to-play games on mobile. We just don't see as much of that because we mainly play on consoles. So that's why we're seeing an oversaturation of shooters.
The industry, in my opinion, I feel like people like to point the proverbial gun at the head of shooters, saying that, like, I feel like there's too many of everything at all times. For example, 10 years ago, there was too many platformers, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Way too many, in fact, a lot of derivative ones, which didn't even try.
A lot of mascot platformers.
I miss mascot platformers, personally, though.
I do, but were a lot of them.
I don't like them, really, but I do miss them.
I don't. I only like the ones that I like. I didn't like the whole genre. I thought the genre was, like, whatever. I just played the games that I did like.
Yeah. Well, like, Crash Bandicoot and...
And what?
Crash Bandicoot and Jack and Daxter and... Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter, and
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank and Sly. They weren't all that different from each other.
Yeah, but you're naming good ones, though. And Jack and Daxter went on to become something different. Ratchet and Clank went on to become something very different. And the ones that didn't died.
No, but that just proves that even good series aren't above, like, falling down sometimes. Because people forget that, like, as much praise as they give...
Yeah, but they were also bought from the creators.
Well, true. Like, it's funny because it's like, people moan so much about, like, derivative repetitive shooters or action games, but look at all the platforms...
Gabe fucking Carey. It sounds like you're taking a bath in a chainsaw.
But yeah, like, I was going to say, like, look at all the platformers that basically went downhill after about, like, the 4th or 5th title. Because Jack and Daxter did. Ratchet and Clank did to a certain degree. Right? And Crash Bandicoot most certainly did. It's just people don't talk about these games because they faded into
Ratchet and Clank, I think the third game in the Ratchet and Clank series was the best.
No, I didn't say third. I said 4th or 5th. There's a reason why I said 4th or 5th.
Oh.
I feel like the original trilogy of all of these games, Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, Sly Cooper, all of the original trilogies were great. I feel like after the trilogy, that's when things got weird.
Well, Jack and Daxter only went terrible after, because they made the original three games, and then I think...
they made Jack X Racing.
Jack X, which was like a spin-off, so I don't even consider that part of the main series. I like that game, it's fun, it's different, but it's not. I don't consider it a Jack and Daxter game. And then the only other games that they made after that, which was Jack and Daxter, like the Forbidden Legacy or something, Legend, something like that. That wasn't made by Naughty Dog.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Weird.
Yeah, it was. Let me see. It's what's it called? Isn't it something like the Forbidden or the Lost Frontier?
The Lost Frontier, there you go.
Yeah, that was created by High Impact Games.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was originally made for the PSP, and then it was ported to the PS2.
Yeah.
And then Daxter was made by Ready at Dawn. So, like...
I heard the Daxter game was okay, though.
I haven't played it yet. I have it, but I lost my... PSP, so I need to buy a new one.
Fair enough.
I have that one, and I have the Ratchet and Clank PSP game, and I didn't get to play either one. I had just bought a PSP, and I bought those games, and I was playing the Kingdom Hearts for the PSP.
Okay.
So.
But I think the point I was going to make, although at least the point we're all trying to make, is that, like, every era of the gaming industry has had its shortcomings, and even the best series just
kind of... Well, I also think that one has had its own tropes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to put it, yeah.
I think we just got out of the first-person shooter, and we're now really into, like, story-driven games, but I feel like the story-driven games, a lot of the times, like, and I agree with you, fall more into the story and less onto the game.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think that's perfectly fine with me, because, I mean, I'm a fan of Metal Gear Solid, I'll be honest. I don't even remember much about Metal Gear Solid gameplay, I just remember cutscenes.
But, first game had a lot of... Well, no, it didn't. It had you sneaking around and then cutscenes.
Like, Metal Gear Solid 2, I could name one moment in that game that had the gameplay that really made me pay attention. The rest of it, I'll be like, yeah, cutscenes, yeah, this happened. I mean, that said, I think Metal Gear Solid 2 had a ton of great interactivity and a ton of really engaging moments, but I wouldn't say the gameplay is 100% of the reason why I'd play Metal Gear Solid 2. But I don't really know what's going to dominate the next gen. I did write an article on Gamer Headlines that I think that open world games are going to dominate next gen to some degree. But
that could be a possibility. I hope not.
But you don't like open world games.
I do, and I don't. Okay. I do. I honestly love games for their story mode. So like Kingdom Hearts and stuff like that. The only reason I play them is for the story. You can call me crazy or whatever, but that's why I like it. Sometimes they don't even have the best story, but if it has a story, I pretty much like it. And you know, a lot of the open world games don't really have a story or don't have a connected story. However, I did just finally beat Saints Row the Third, and I have to put that game pretty high up on my list of favorite games that I played for the last gen. It was a lot of fun, and the story, while short at times, it had plenty of shortcomings, the story, especially since a lot of the tasks didn't lead into any more storyline. They just kind of...
If you like Saints Row 3, you should definitely play 4, in my opinion. And the reason why I even wrote that article on Gamer Headlines is because I think open world game story are getting better. Like,
it was very surprising how good the end of Saints Row 4. Sorry, 3. I haven't played 4 yet. I want to. Okay, spoiler alert for people who haven't played Saints Row the 3rd. Skip about a minute ahead. The end part of Saints Row 3, where you have to choose whether to kill Kilbane or to save Shandi, that was actually a tough decision.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Which was great. Like, it felt like an actual decision, like, well, we can kill this guy, but she's going to be dead. And some people are saying, if you save her, it's going to ruin everything we worked for, and she would understand. But if you save her, you know, they're like, You can't just not save her. She's part of the team. And so I was like, oh fuck. And then the crown jewel of Saints Row the Third, when done correctly, was their use of music. And they didn't do it correctly throughout the whole game. But there are two specific instances. One where you're trying to storm the first big like pad. And it starts playing Kanye West.
It went crazy to Kanye West. I thought it was good.
Fucking... It just, like, starts pumping you up. You're like, yes, yes, yes! And then, for those people who already skipped ahead, there's no more spoilers. I'm just gonna say it in a different way. The end part of Saints Row the Third, where you're doing the last mission, and it starts playing I Need a Hero...
Yeah, I thought that was really clever how they did that.
Yeah, it was. It added so much to that moment because it was like the song was like playing extremely loud, and it was just like, oh fuck, they need a hero. I guess I have to do it, you know.
Yeah.
And it added a lot to the game. I think music can really add to it. And that's
wait, what are you talking about?
Saints Row the Third.
Saints Row the Third.
I don't know what happened, but I had to restart my computer, so.
I will say that, like, the reason why I mean, just to explain in general my point about open world games is, like, Saints Row the Third had a pretty decent story. I think Saints Row 4 had a better story, even though that game was more off the wall, because that game really got you involved with all the characters personally.
I love and it went into the off series. The wall those games are.
Yeah, like, I think Saints Row 4 did a really good job of making convincing, believable, and likable story, and in fact, same thing happened with me with Far Cry 3. Like, I think the story was phenomenal. Like, one of the most memorable stories for me from an open world game. And I feel like the reason why I think open world games could dominate next gen is because, and as I mentioned in my article on Gamer Headlines, is that I feel like the technology is catching up to the design, because previously with open world games, they could only do so much. They had to somehow balance creating a sandbox with creating missions, with creating gameplay. It was a bit tough, but like with games like GTA 5, we've hit the point in technology where we can have the believable open world with the beautiful skyboxes that you might only see in single player games. You can have, you know, the tons of options. You can have the involving story with, you know, great cutscenes and stuff like that. I feel like when you catch the balance of all of these things, you can finally have an amazing single-player story, just like with regular games. You can have the open world to explore. You can have the sandbox. And you can have the multiple options. And that's why I feel like if they nail this correctly in the next gen, I feel like open world games could become the next big thing. And I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying like they could. Because I think if Far Cry 3 and GTA 5 are any indication, like, you know, open world games can do story now. I feel like previously they didn't really. Like, a few games did, like Red Dead Redemption did, but I feel like now...
Holy shit. Wasn't that Game of the Year when it came out?
It was, yeah.
That was a good one.
So I feel like more and more open world games are starting to really, like, knock it out of the park when it comes to story. I mean, because I guess that's really it, though, when it comes down to it. Game of the Year winners are usually story, aren't they? It's when it comes down to it, story what wins.
I hope Far Cry 3...
Far Cry 4, you mean? Gabe?
He's gone.
What, when GTA... Hello?
Hey, you're here.
Yeah,
can
hey.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just hope that it's Far Cry 3 and GTA 5 that are an indication of what we're going to get this generation, rather than Watch Dogs and maybe Infamous, because I don't think those were very good examples of how to tell a story in an open-world game.
Does someone have $10 to give
technology,
me...
Though.
Someone have $10 so they can buy me Saints Row 4?
No. I was lucky enough to borrow it off my friend, but yeah, you should. You definitely should get Saints Row 4.
Well,
I feel like
looking on Steam. Fighting.
It's just a lovely game overall. But no, but you're right, Gabe. I would say that if anything, Watch Dogs and what was Infamous are good examples of the technology and level of depth, but perhaps not
Infamous
anything else.
Second Son.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Infamous Second Son, like,
yeah.
Infamous Second Son and Watch Dogs are,
yeah.
they had the graphics, they had the depth, they had the variety, but they didn't really, they were rough around the edges. But I feel like if we can get, I feel like Far Cry 4's story is going to be decent. Like, I can definitely tell Far Cry 4's story is going to be decent.
I hope so, yeah.
And I feel like I want to see more of these type of games, because I feel like open world games done correctly can really catch a wide market, just like Assassin's Creed 2 did in its day, because it's simple enough. You know, you can get into it, you can, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the character, you can either go straight for the story or do other stuff. Like, they have to make the world believable, and the technology can do it now. Like, Far Cry 3, to me, was so engrossing because it was believable. I didn't feel like I was just put in this sandbox with roughly interconnected objectives free of any context. Because
Another good example would be the Batman Arkham games. I think
exactly.
Do a really good job of, like... putting you into this world and making it believable, a believable setting, while also telling you a believable story.
Is that what it was
Origins
called?
Was good. I didn't think it was, like, as bad as people say it is. I think it was just good, though. It wasn't quite as amazing as what Rocksteady had done before with Arkham City, but that's only because they didn't really increase the scale any in this game. It was just the same. It was more of the same. It was more Arkham City. Taking place at Christmas time, and the story was really good, but it just didn't really do anything new.
Who has to complain about that?
Well, people who I guess expected more. Like, I don't know, I feel like
they expected
didn't
it
like...
to be Arkham Knight instead of...
Pretty much. No, because it's like, after how amazing Arkham Asylum was and how even more amazing Arkham City was, they expected...
Something
like,
even
they expected
more amazing.
To go up. Yeah, they expected,
yeah, they expected
something
Arkham World...
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, they, I don't know. They didn't want a filler game. They wanted it to be like the next biggest thing, the next bigger thing, whatever. And that expectation is reasonable. But I guess, you know, because people hate complacency. But I feel like with Origins, I think Origins, I want to play. I haven't played it yet. I think Origins, from what I can tell, is just a decent game. But I think Arkham Knight is the next step. Obviously, that's coming
out totally
next year. But I don't know. I think I agree with Dennis when I say that I wouldn't necessarily be 100% happy if open world games became like the next big thing. Not because like the genre is bad or anything, but rather it's like,
was that Lego open world game any good?
Which one? They're
No. Lego games aren't I guess they've started to become open world, but the one that was the Wii U exclusive.
Oh, Lego City Undercover. That was supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I want to get that game. I fucking love the Lego games.
It was supposed to be like Grand Theft Auto for kids.
Right, that's what I fucking want. I just like, I want to like, when I like, after I fuck the hooker, I just want to pull off her arms and take the head off and throw it in the lake.
I don't think that happens in Lego City Undercover.
I'm pretty sure you can fuck a hooker in Lego City Undercover.
I'm pretty sure you can, Dennis.
Obviously, one of us has played with Legos and the other one's name is Patrick.
It's Pariah somehow, I don't know why. but still, I think that, I mean, actually, let me ask you guys, can you guys imagine open world games becoming the next big thing?
Yes, I can imagine them. Do I want it to become the next big thing? No. Do I want them to stop making
I don't
them?
Really either.
No.
Yeah. Well, what do you think will become the next big thing?
I think, no.
I don't want anything to be. I want more variety.
Right.
But Gabe, be realistic. We all know that the industry is diverse all the time. You know that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And what I would want to be the next big thing is not what anyone else would want to be the next big thing. And what I want is for every game to be like a Naughty Dog game.
Adult games.
Every game to be a Naughty Dog game. But then if every game was...
That's me. That's
just
me, though.
I only want My Little Pony hentai games to be the next big
thing. Okay, well, what are they? No, but Gabe, if every game was a Naughty Dog game, none of them would be. What would set them apart?
It's true. I don't know. Nothing would. That's why I want variety.
But ideally,
I want variety. I don't want oversaturation of anything.
Gabe, I'm going to blow your mind. The reason why I even think that is because there's saturation. Without that standard to compare it to, nothing would feel special. Without the constant stream of, regurgitative crap, we wouldn't have something like The Last of Us to stand out. If every game was The Last of Us, The Last of Us wouldn't have been special.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I want better storytelling in games and far better character development than we've been seeing. I just reviewed The Last of Us Remastered, and what I said is I want more Joels and Ellies, and I want less Aiden Pierces. I don't want these one-dimensional flat characters that I won't remember in another year. I want something special.
Like Super Mario.
I want it depending on the game. For a game like, I guess, Watch Dogs, it should have had a deeper character. But if it's, and I'm going to bring up, I guess, Strider. If it's a game like Strider, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't want a deep character in Strider. But yeah, Watch Dogs was disappointing. And so was Infamous. I don't even remember the character's name because it wasn't memorable. The original Infamous games had better stories than the one on next gen. So what's the deal with that? Are we going backwards? In storytelling? I'm not sure.
Infamous games look like they suck balls anyway.
I think what I want personally isn't so much... I mean, I want what you want, i.e. depth of characters and memorable characters, but I feel like what matters to me isn't so much the depth of the writing. For me, what does it for me and for a lot of people is I want the legacy. I want personality. I feel like the issue I have with Titanfall, among other things, even though I'm going to get the game, is... The game lacks personality from a lack of a believable and interesting world where you can attach yourself to things. That's the problem I have with that game. The lack of personality makes it so that you don't
know. With that game, I really like that game. And that's because, for the same reason you don't want a story in Strider or believable characters or any of that, like in Titanfall, I just wanted to jump in and have fun. For 10 minutes or so. A day.
That's what I do with the Lego games.
Yeah. See, with that game, I really didn't want to experience a story. Maybe if that was what the developer set out to do, and if that's the goal they were trying to achieve, but they weren't. I don't want them to tack on a story just because.
Right,
they can.
Yeah, or feel like they have to.
Well, I mean, Gabe, would you agree with me if I said that that multiplayer campaign would have been better if it wasn't multiplayer? I feel like it would have made it more enjoyable, though. No, because, I mean, I'm not saying the story was perfect, but I'm saying if it was single-player and you were fighting against bots and it was offline, that would basically...
I didn't care about the campaign. I played through it, and it was okay, but I just wanted to jump into the multiplayer.
Was the story engaging?
I don't even know what it was.
The thing about Titanfall's story is it is there. It makes sense. But by making it multiplayer, it's so hard to pay attention to it. Also, your wins and losses have no impact. If they had made it like an actual single player where your wins and losses meant something, you could actually pay attention to the story because it's just you and not a bunch of people running around, then it would have been at least that bit more interesting. However, I agree that it wasn't necessary. What I'm saying is that, like, by not doing that, I feel like that game lacks some legacy points, some personality points. And I feel like, for me, what I want to remember is not necessarily how good or bad, necessarily speaking, the thing was. I just want to remember is, ooh, was this character cool? Or was this moment cool? Or was this bit in the game memorable for me? Am I going to put a wallpaper on my desktop because I liked it so much? I don't, you know what I mean? I want to be involved with the game in that, you know, in that sense. I think that's what I want from my games anyway.
You know what I want from my games?
Okay, actually, go ahead. I don't actually know what you're going
to
say.
Hand jobs.
Okay, I gave you too much credit, and I actually thought you were going to say something serious.
I think we're getting close to the end. Gabe just got kicked off again. But I do want to leave back on the movie topic, because I don't feel like I've done it enough justice. I can't highly recommend seeing Chef enough. It was like, I went into the movie not expecting that much. I went and saw it at a local indie movie theater. But I understand a lot of people don't have those, especially if you're in a smaller town. And I'm not saying anything, but I've heard rumors of it being online already. And not a cam version, a actual version. A DVD version. So, I don't want to suggest anything, but I do suggest seeing that movie. It was phenomenal. Not at all what I expected. It's Jon Favreau. A lot of the cast returns to Jon Favreau from the Iron Man series. Playing different characters. Do yourself a favor. Don't watch the trailer for the movie. If you're remotely interested, either find yourself an indie movie theater. What the fuck is that noise, Gabe?
It's just his mic again. Anyway, as you say.
Either find an indie movie theater or, you know, search online. It's online. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm not going to tell you how to get it. But it is something really enjoyable.
Responsible, Dennis. Very responsible. I mean, well, that's a good... recommendation.
You should watch it.
I probably should. I'll probably forget, but if you remind me in like a week or something, maybe.
No,
I'll
remind you tonight. Tonight's when you're gonna watch it. It's that good.
I don't see myself watching it tonight, but thanks for recommendation anyway.
It's really good, dude.
Wait, no. Actually, what's it called again?
Chef.
Just Chef.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Jon Favreau's. I think it's like a labor of love for him. Gabe is having severe technical issues. I believe his boyfriend accidentally got semen on the motherboard recently.
Mm-hmm.
They were blowing each other.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened, Dennis.
So, we will have to pretend like Gabe is here and saying goodbye. For B9 with B10, I am Gabe Carey at the
what?
Gabe Carey on Twitter.
Oh.
And I'm also Dennis McCarson at Dennis McCarson on Twitter.
Wow.
Your turn.
And I'm Patrick Torfey at Justice Altuna on Twitter.
I didn't fuck it up this time.
Exactly.
Bye.